This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Winter, energy, the driving subject for weeks and months now because of Ukraine conflict. What is to be done? I welcome some of the answers from Matu Favas. He is the financial correspondent, especially in natural resources for The Economist magazine. And he's going to introduce us to a small state in the Gulf I accidentally visited once upon a time. Very romantic, Scheherazade, but it is now the center of all eyes because of the World Cup. But that is not the driving interest. It's natural gas, liquefied natural gas. We go to Qatar, the Emirate of Qatar. Matu, a very good evening to you. Right now, the liquefied natural gas from Qatar is mostly going to Asia, almost entirely. But you say that recently there have been visitors from Europe, visitors including the Chancellor of Germany. What is it that Qatar might be able to do for Europe going forward? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John, and thanks for having me. So Qatar is already the biggest producer of liquefied natural gas, which is basically the only way to send gas to a country that buys it without using a pipeline. And Europe, as you're well aware, is getting far less gas from Russia than it used to because Russia's cut supply through its main pipeline. Now, Qatar, not only is it already this very big producer of LNG, as we call liquefied natural gas, it's also planning a massive expansion of its production capabilities, which the project is already underway. But by 2026, so Qatar today produces around 77 million tons per annum of LNG. And by 2026, it's going to climb to 110. And a year later, it might be 125, 26. So a very big increase in production. And what Europe wants is, yes, maybe a bit more gas today to help it with the crunch this winter, but also some security of supply for the future so it can do away with Russian gas. So that's why you see these delegations visiting Doha, the capital of Qatar, to try and craft an agreement with the energy ministry there.
The big number to pay attention to, billion cubic meters, is 140 billion cubic meters shortfall in Europe 2023. That's the number to watch. Right now, all the other numbers have to add up to a way to supply Europe, or else we have a difficult time ahead for all of Europe and all of Europe's trading partners. 140 billion cubic meters shortfall we can project right now. I'm following Matu's reporting. We will come back to liquefied natural gas because there are other sources of energy that are also right now in the conversation about where are we going to get. And we go to oil. This is unrefined oil, crude oil. Matu, I learned from you that right now, Russian oil is going to be entirely banned in Europe as of early December. I believe it's December 5th. So Russia is already redirecting a lot of its oil to other parts of the world that are not putting it under sanctions, Asia chiefly, Russia, India, and China. What is the European thinking about where it is going to replace the banned Russian oil after early December? Where are they looking?
So the answer is actually quite short and simple. It's pretty much from everywhere else. So everywhere that's not Russia. So you're seeing already, you know, from what Europe is doing today already. So from December, it's going to be a big drop because it's banning all the seaborne import of Russian oil. Pipelines are still going to flow, but that's a small portion. So that's a big drop. But it's already buying less than it used to. And what you're seeing today is that Europe is getting more from Norway, so that's not very far, but also from West Africa, which is much further, from the Middle East, which is also quite far, from America, especially also, which is producing much more oil, has been producing much more oil since the war started. So Europe is a bit of a vortex for oil supplies around the world. And I expect, you know, that this will be even more pronounced once the embargo comes into place.
Right. And my numbers here help me, is Russia has been supplying 5 million barrels per day. So that's the number that Europe has to find a way to put together. The Gulf has been sending 1.2 million barrels per day to the EU. Can that be increased?
It could be increased a little bit, maybe. But there's a big caveat to that. So first of all, quite a lot of the members of the cartel are already struggling to meet their targets. Quite a few of them are actually falling short of their targets. The two that can increase their production, Saudi Arabia and the UAE, can only increase by perhaps 1.8 million barrels per day. And that number is being questioned. But that's you know, a reasonable estimate if we want to use it. But then the third question is, do they want to do it? And at the moment, because the oil price has declined a bit, especially compared to the peak that it reached in August, it's more likely that OPEC will actually want to cut production further than actually increase it, because it wants to sustain a pretty high oil price. So all that together, it's quite unlikely that in the short term, OPEC will increase its production much more to satisfy Europe.
My numbers here say that America to EU right now is 1.6 million barrels per day. Can that be increased?
This can be increased a bit as well. We've seen already a huge increase in American production this year in response to the war, to the high prices. But the producers that are in America that could produce more, the shale oil producers, they've been much more prudent than they were a few years back when they did crank up production quite a lot, and then prices fell and they suffered because they had a lot of debt. This time, they are being prudent because they don't want to make the same mistake. So what you might see is that if oil prices stay where they are today, which is lower than this summer, but still pretty high historically, then they might be tempted to go back into the market and you'll see an increase. But that won't happen in the next few weeks. It might be more like a 2023 story.
Now, here's a twist. Iran is a possible offset to the lack of Russian oil. However, that will turn on the so-called reawakened Iran deal, which I'm told repeatedly is not now imminent. But Iran represents the possibility of 4 million barrels a day. Is that something that Europe is planning on, counting on, wishing on? Do they say their prayers over it? What is the expectation, Mathieu?
I think at this stage, the expectations are relatively low, because even though Europe would like that to happen, because remember, they were not the one to cancel the deal, America was, they understand that now a deal is quite unlikely. It doesn't look like Iran actually is very sure it wants it. It's at the moment, it's raising demands that are quite unrealistic, possibly as an excuse not to take the deal. So it's quite unlikely this happens, which is a shame, because it would make quite a big difference to the market, because it's a lot of oil that it can produce. And also because it has a lot of oil stored on vessels in the Persian Gulf, near Singapore, near China as well. Around, you know, the estimates are 100 million barrels. So that's quite a lot of oil that could flood the market. But this is not something that anyone is counting on at the moment.
The matter of price, I need to understand this. Right now, it's somewhere north of 80, under 90, somewhere in there. It moves around. What is the effect if that oil price is lower? You speculate half price. How does that change the capacity, the ability of the providers?
Well, to assess what the effect would be, you have to look at the cost of production of the various producers. And the likely effect there is that the highest cost producers, say, you know, the tar sands in Canada, Americas, is a bit higher cost as well than, say, the Gulf, for example. Gulf oil producers like Saudi Arabia, the UAE, they're among the lowest cost producers around. So you would expect that other producers drop out of the market, and that OPEC producers, and especially really the Gulf states, they keep their market share. So there would be, you know, if whether that happens next year or whether that happens in 10 or 15 years when we shift away from oil for good, you would expect that the last one standing would be the Gulf states.
Also of concern We're talking about crude oil so far. The shortfall, remember, the number I have is 5 million barrels per day once the Russian oil by sea is banned. We also have concerns for refined oil. Now, again, I want to follow this carefully. Europe has limited refinement capacity or none. How do they think of themselves?
Europe has limited refinery capacity. It has some. It's always had some, but it has less than before, primarily because there's been less investment in refineries in recent years because it was seen as being quite polluting. And also, it's quite a bet to invest millions of dollars in a new refinery when your thinking is that oil will no longer be needed in 10 years' time. But also there's been COVID. COVID has led, because of the lockdowns, it's led to a lack of maintenance of refineries. And the bottom line of that is that you've got a lower refinery capacity in Europe. The same is true to an extent in America, but Europe is I think, more pronounced.
And Russia has been selling its refined product to Europe, and that will also be redirected to where? Where is Russia going to sell its refined product?
Well, that's much harder, actually, because you're right. So Russia used to sell quite a lot of diesel, in particular, to Europe, and also some oil products to America. But both of them, America has already done it. Europe is about to do it in February. So all this refined oil needs to find a new home. But it's much harder than crude oil that we just discussed, because China has a lot of refineries and can produce refined oil itself. India as well. So they're not going to be wanting to buy this excess refined products that Russia will have. It's more likely that Russia will have to sell it at a very big discount to, say, African countries or a few other buyers. And even more likely that quite a lot of it won't be sold. So you'll have probably a shortfall in the market.
Now, here's a twist. In addition to the Iran twist, this is a wonderful twist. See if I get it right. Russia right now has crude oil to sell. China has extra refining capacity. It can refine more than it's now incoming. So Russia can sell to China, and then China can sell to the EU, which very carefully Matu presents as petroleum laundering. Is that talked about in Europe now? We can buy from China?
Yeah, it's not really talked about in official cycles, as you can expect, but it's being talked about by traders and people from the industry, really. They really expect that to happen because it's a very simple equation to solve. You know, Europe needs the products. China has this excess refining capacity. Russia has this excess crude oil. So put that all together, and it's quite easy to see what happens. This is what we expect to happen. It will be very hard for Europe to prevent that if he wants to, which is not a given. It may just turn a blind eye. But he wants to ban that. It's going to be hard because in a refinery, you can always blend different kinds of crude oil, beyond any threshold, whether it's a legal threshold or even detectable threshold. So this seems unavoidable at this stage.
A detail here about Europe, it doesn't have one voice. It has many voices. You noted that Charles Michel, the European Council president, was in Doha to talk about liquefied natural gas. Also, Mr. Schulz, are there dissenting voices in Europe about some of these possible maneuvers in future? For example, is there hesitation to buy refined product from China? Is there hesitation to look for liquefied natural gas from countries that have poor governance in Africa? Any fussiness like that you detected, Matu?
I think for now, the fussiness is squarely directed at Russia, and it's trying to really prevent, to make the crude oil ban work. It's also about this price cap mechanism that they've been discussing to try and allow other countries to buy oil from Russia, but at a specific price. That Europe and other members of the G7 would set. I've not really heard a lot about trying to prevent purchase of refined products from China or LNG from other countries, because Qatar has been in the past has been very good at respecting its contract, continuing to deliver its gas. And the contrary to Russia, who's been a very unreliable supplier. So. Actually, if we switch Russia for, say, a bit for Qatar, it will be for a more reliable supplier. So I've not seen any real objections to that.
Mathieu Favaz for The Economist. He's a financial correspondent, especially in natural resources. The question now is, what is to be done immediately? What are the challenges immediately when we come back? I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.